last week in our move. We greatly appreciate it. I can't express to you how much it meant to us. The neighbor in our old neighborhood asked who the people were that we used because her mother's getting ready to move. And the people in our new neighborhood asked who all those people were that helped us. And you know, it's really cool to be able to tell people, that was my church family. That was my church. And that's just really cool. So I really appreciate all the help Felinda and I do. And I really appreciate the fact that when the gun safe was being moved out, I was somewhere else. Very, very much appreciate it. You know, a few weeks ago, we started talking about considerate Christians, being considerate Christians. What does it mean to be a considerate Christian? Are you considering others' needs above your own? Are you trying to serve other people daily? Are you being considerate in your thoughts and your actions? We start off by talking about considerate Christians and their enemies. Then we talked about humbleness. Considerate Christians are humble. We next talked about how considerate Christians handle disagreements with each other. We talked about considerate Christians are patient. And last week we talked about considerate Christians and forgiveness. As people of God, we have to be willing to forgive. Today we're going to talk about gentleness. Considerate Christians are gentle. You know, Paul, when he was locked away in prison, he wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, "As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." Have you ever spent much time in the produce section at the grocery store? Have you ever stood there and just looked at all the options available to you? Felinda doesn't allow me to go to the grocery store very much. She says it takes too long and we get too much junk. And that's probably true. But if you ever stand there, you see all kinds of fruits. You see the normal things like bananas and oranges and strawberries. But every once in a while, if you're at Kroger or one of the bigger stores, you're going to see some weird-looking stuff, right? You're going to see things that maybe don't look so good, maybe not so appetizing. There's this one that's plastic-looking, and it looks like a star. You ever seen that one? Star fruit, I think it's called. It's a good name for it. There's the little rotten-looking bananas that come from Honduras, plantains maybe. But some of these things don't look very appetizing. Have you ever looked at something and you already know in your mind what it's going to taste like even though you've never tried it? And maybe that keeps you from wanting to try it. You've already decided you're not going to like it. I remember the first time I ever had kiwi fruit. I looked at it and I thought, man, this thing looks weird. This thing looks disgusting. I will never try this thing. But guess what? Eventually I did, and I liked it. We got kiwi fruit fans in here. Yeah, it's pretty good stuff. But it looks weird, right? I like blueberries. But every once in a while, you'll get some bitter-tasting blueberries, and I've discovered that a little bit of sugar goes a long way there. But sometimes fruit may not look real appetizing to us, especially if it's something different, something unique. Well, today we're going to talk about a fruit of God's Spirit that if you were to look at it in the store, it might not look that appealing. It may not be the most colorful fruit. It may not have the greatest smell. It might be one that's hard for us to try out initially because it's just a little different. Or maybe not what we would think is important. Maybe not what we would expect when we try it. The fruit is gentleness. Galatians 5, 22 through 25, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." Considerate Christians are to be gentle. What does it mean to be gentle? I'm sure if we would go around the room, we would all maybe have a different idea or differing views, many, about what gentleness means. The Greek word here is pronounced prauts. It's P-R-A-U-T-E-S. What does gentleness mean? What does it mean to be meek? What does it mean to conjure that? Think about that. What does that image conjure up when you think? think about the word gentle or the word meek. Does anyone set out and say, I'm going to be meek? Something we say very often? No. Do you teach your children, son, be meek at school today? No. You say, be brave, be courageous, do the right thing. Meekness is something that maybe we don't set out to do. And the King James has kind of led us to some unfortunate misunderstandings because it translates the word meek. But Paul meant a fruit of power here when he writes about gentleness. The English word of meekness kind of depicts somebody maybe a little weak or maybe even wimpy is what our language depicts that word as being. But Paul's concept when he wrote the word prots was a person under control, with strength under control. If we switch the word from meek to gentle, it helps us a little bit. You know, the Greeks used the word prots to describe an animal that had been brought under control. Kim gets that. She has horses. David does too. And other people that have horses. Yeah. You have a massive animal, an animal that could do anything it wants to you, but you're able to bring it under control. That's the essence of the word here. Aristotle spoke of this word by describing it as an easy-tempered and easily domesticated elephant. Plato described it as a mighty and strong beast which could be tamed and fed by a man who knew how to handle it. And William Barclay gives a very good illustration. He says the word here is like the watchdog who bravely is hostile to strangers, but gently friendly with those he knows. Something we need to understand when we talk about gentleness or meekness. Meekness is by no means weakness. When we think of meekness, we think of the person cowering in the corner, afraid to do anything, but that's not what Paul's talking about. You know, there are only two people in the Bible that are described using this word prots, this word gentle. Those people, Moses and Jesus. Nothing weak there, right? Nothing weak. You see, both of these men, Jesus, of course, was God as well, but they both display an obedience to the reins, an obedience to the plan, a gentle strength, or the ferocious courage of a watchdog protecting his master. Their meekness was not weakness. And as people following God, as people who follow the example of Jesus, our meekness is not weakness either. It is strength under control. Under God's control. You know, the domesticated animal allows its master to control them, right? And that is the same goal we should have as Christians, to allow our lives to be under God's control. You know, the Life Application Bible says the following about gentleness. Gentleness is humble, consideration of others, submissive to the will of God and His Word. Even when anger is the appropriate response, as when Jesus cleared the temple, gentleness keeps the expression of anger headed in the right direction. Gentleness applies even force the correct way. A gentle person is even tempered. They're not a weakling who's afraid to do nothing. I hardly think Jesus or Moses would be described as people considered weak. They were strong. They were submissive to God. And that is our job, church. Be submissive to God under His control. How do we grow this fruit? We've talked in this series about how fruit doesn't just develop. Fruit has to be planted and watered and tended, and things have to happen for fruit to eventually turn into something that's useful. How do we grow this fruit of gentleness in our lives? Gentleness is something that maybe doesn't come too naturally to very many of us. We need the help of God's Spirit working in our lives, cultivating our hearts for this. But there's three areas I want to look at this morning to help us better cultivate the fruit of gentleness in our lives. And first, we have to be willing to be submissive to God's will. And we know that. But do we put that into practice every day? If we're going to be gentle, then we have to relinquish our power over for God's power. We can't be submissive to God and be the gentle people He wants us to be if we're living life under our own control. You know, Jesus was the perfect example in all things, but definitely in this submissive thing, because in the garden before his crucifixion, before he was about to go and die, he told God, I will be submissive. Even though the human side of him was looking for another way, he said, I will be submissive. He says in Matthew 26, 42, he went away a second time and prayed, My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. Praise God, his will was done. To be gentle, we have to be willing in our lives to submit to the will of God in our families, in our jobs, in church, wherever we go. Secondly, to be gentle, we have to be willing to have a teachable spirit. James 1:21 says, Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. If we don't have a teachable spirit, then we're not going to be able to receive God's instruction in our lives to be people like Jesus. Have you ever been around somebody who thinks they know it all? Don't look at your spouse. Just look at me. But we're around people like that, right? Yeah, there's always that person in class that keeps you there long because they've got to tell everybody how smart they are, right? Y'all remember that in school. There's people that they believe, or we believe at least, it seems like, they know it all. That's a dangerous place to be in life, but it's a really dangerous place to be spiritually. Amen? We'll never have all the answers. We'll never have a mind that can fathom all the things of God this side of eternity. We must always have a teachable spirit. Do you believe there are things God wants to teach you today? Absolutely. And there'll be things he's going to want to teach us tomorrow and next week. If we think we know it all already, then we'll never grow. And if we're not growing, then we're never going to be the gentle people God wants us to be. We have to be willing to learn. We have to be willing to grow. A teachable spirit is part of being submissive to God's will. And it's God's will for us to grow. And third, to grow this fruit of gentleness in our lives, we have to be willing to consider others. Have you ever been around someone who only thinks of themselves? That's what the world tells us to do. What can I get for me today? That's the way the world operates. But that's not the way God calls us to operate. Part of being gentle is being able to consider others and their feelings. Paul, who's locked away in prison, is telling us, of all things, to be gentle. Now, I got to tell you, if I'm locked in prison and I'm writing a letter to somebody, I'm probably not going to be talking about being gentle because my focus is going to be elsewhere, right? Paul's focus was always in these situations on the long game, on the end game, on teaching people about Jesus. In prison, he tells us of all things in Ephesians 4:2, be gentle. We need to be considerate of others' feelings, to put ourselves into their shoes, to empathize with them. Our walk is not worthy if we're not showing tolerance to each other, to people outside. We can call ourselves anything we want. We can sit in these pews all day long, three times a week, but if we're not out there showing tolerance and patience and love and gentleness, then we're not doing the things God has called us to do. Amen. The talk means nothing without the walk. Consider others. Consider Christians are gentle. So where do we need to exercise this gentleness? Well, the answer is everywhere. In all relationships, when we come in contact with all people. But a few things I want to hit on this morning. We exercise gentleness when we're helping a brother or sister who's struggling. Consider Christians have to be gentle when they're helping a brother or sister who's struggling. Galatians 6, the first four verses say, Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. You know, there's a church I went to many, many years ago, and there was a particular gentleman who would come about 6 or 7 times a year, and every time he came, he would go forward and ask for prayers. And I remember hearing murmurs and people talking and whispering when they would see him. Oh, I wonder if he's going to go forward today. I wonder if it'll take this time. And that stuck with me. It's easy for us to feel morally superior when we're around people who don't deal in the particular things they struggle with. But God's word's clear. Scriptures teach us to be aware of spiritual pride. It's not our job to judge or mock or talk about it. It is our job to restore that person gently to help them get back to Jesus with a spirit of gentleness, we're told. What attitudes do you have toward people caught in sin? What attitude do I have toward people caught in sin? Let me ask you this question. How would God have us speak to sinners? Remembering that all of us were at one point outside of His grace. It's a humbling question to ask, but it's so important for us to remember. Many times we get caught up in this cycle of thinking, well, I'm in, I'm a Christian, and these people are doing terrible, unspeakable things. And that's true. There's a lot of sin out there. There's a lot of bad things going on. But church, we are all sinners. Amen? We all need a Savior. And it is our job not to be judgmental, but it is our job to be gentle. To show people Jesus and His forgiveness. We must exercise gentleness when we're helping people who struggle. We also must exercise gentleness when we're extending forgiveness. We talked about this last week when we talked about forgiveness. Consider Christians have to be able to extend gentleness and forgiveness to those who wrong us. Colossians 3, 12 and 13. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's our calling. If we're going to forgive people, we have to do so in a spirit of gentleness. We're giving up our right to be hateful, our right for retribution. And a spirit-controlled person will only be able to do this with God's Spirit. We need God's Spirit in our lives to help us do these things. We've never been called to do any of this alone. I say that every week, and I'll say that every week until I don't say it anymore, because it's very important. All these things God has asked us to do, it's not up to Matt Oliver to figure it out and be able to do it on my own. It's only with God's Holy Spirit in us, helping us, guiding us. The only question is, will I listen to it? Will you follow it? We also have to be willing to extend forgiveness and exercise or extend gentleness when we're trying to reach other people for Christ. We have to be gentle when we're teaching people and sharing with them examples and stories in our lives. We read in 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Amen. I'm sure many of us can think of plenty of examples where that's not been done with gentleness and respect. Church, that's what we're called to do. This ties in with teaching or correcting. We need to exhibit a gentle spirit as we try to win people for Christ. As we try to sit down with them humbly and search the Scriptures and show them the love of Christ. You know, the fruit of gentleness is a blessing to possess. The fruit of gentleness is a blessing when you're around someone who is showing it. Amen? But we'll never be able to truly possess this on our own. As we've said all along, this is God's Spirit, the fruit of His Spirit, not ours. When we give our lives over to Jesus, when we're baptized into Him and receive that Spirit, it is awesome what God will do with us. We have to use this spirit of gentleness in all the things we do. and it will make our produce, what we produce, taste even better. It'd be more appealing for God's glory, not ours. But we'll never be able to be the considerate Christians God wants us to be if we're not gentle toward others. Remember, gentleness has nothing to do with weakness. But it's only when we are strong in Christ can we truly be gentle the way He wants us to. One day a young man was walking alongside a road and he heard a noise that sounded to him like crying. And it was off in the distance. So as he got a little bit closer, he could hear it a little better, and he realized that under a bridge, there was some crying. So he got down, and as he could get closer to the bridge, he saw a very pathetic sight. He saw a little puppy, about 2 months old. And the puppy had a gash on his head. And he was all disheveled, and his front legs were wrapped with a cord, and his legs were all swollen where he had been wrapped up in this cord. So the young man felt compassion. He was immediately moved. He wanted to help this puppy. As he approached the puppy stopped crying. And he snarled. And he started growling ferociously, showing his teeth. But the young man didn't give up. He sat down a few feet away from the puppy and he started to gently talk to the And eventually he was able to inch forward little by little until he could reach the puppy. And he began to unwrap the cord from around his legs. Then the young man carried the puppy home and he cared for his wounds and he gave him some food and gave him some water and gave him a warm place to sleep in his house. But even with all this, the little puppy continued to growl and bark at this young man every time he'd approach. The young man continued to treat this dog with gentleness, with kindness. Weeks went by, and then one day, as the young man approached the little puppy, he didn't growl and snarl, but he wagged his tail. You see, consistent love and kindness and gentleness over a period of time had won this puppy over to being a relationship of trust and loyalty. In our relationships, church, whether our relationships are with our parents or our children or our grandparents or our grandchildren or our husbands and wives or friends or even our animals, gentleness is a greatly desired and very effective quality. Amen? It's so important. Regularly showing gentleness to people through our words and our deeds. That's one of the most important things we can do for a long-term, long-lasting relationship. Consider Christians are gentle. How are we perceived out there? How are you perceived? Do the people at your workplace think you're gentle? Do the people at your workplace think that you care for them? Are they comfortable to talk to you? You know, if that's not where we are, that's where we want to be. We want to be showing the love of Christ everywhere we are, whether it's at work or in our families or at the grocery store. Or in traffic, we want to be shown as the gentle Christians God has called us to be. Even in traffic. I'm on my own toes there. You know, if you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life, you can come to Him. He wants you to come to Him. He wants to save you. Your God wants you for eternity. And He says, come to my Son and confess Him as Lord and Savior. Repent of your sins and be baptized into Him. Be baptized where your sins are washed away, where you come in contact with the blood of Christ, where you receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit, this Spirit that helps you live out these fruits that God has so graciously given us. If you're here this morning and you've never taken that step, take that step. Let God bless you. Let God save you. Let Him let you walk in the light. You know, it's so important here. The peace we get from being Christians, the joy we get even when things around us may not be joyful, that is so great and so amazing. But you know what's even more amazing than that? One day when this life is over, we go home. Just like that song said, because he lives. You know what? It occurred to me as we were singing that song, because he lives, nothing else but that matters. Amen? Nothing else but that matters when we're Christians. Yeah, this world's a tough place, and people hurt us, and situations are difficult. But because he lives, I can face tomorrow, and so can you. But if you've never become a Christian, you have no hope. You can leave here today with hope. You can leave here today saved. If there's anyone here this morning who has a need, we want you to come now as we stand and sing.